Doctor said you got PCOS. Now go on, girl, just lose some weight. Till I took the symptoms into my own hands and reversed them naturally. So I became a dietitian to help my sisters feel the best they've ever felt. Take a step in my direction if you wanna prove them wrong and take control of yourself. Join a sister and a
Okay, today we're going to talk about sleep, and today we're all going to be honest with each other, including us.
Wow.
We're going to be throwing shots here, Talon, because we haven't been sleeping that great recently. I haven't. You haven't.
It's true.
Staring at the phone at night.
It's true.
This episode is not just for the sisters. It's also for us.
Like last night, you know, I realized that we're going to Japan in a few weeks, and yeah. I was like, I need cute outfits. So I started online shopping.
Is that what you were doing?
That's exactly what I was doing. I was getting sucked in to Instagram reels of girls in Zara outfits, linking their products, and I was searching for cute pants and sweaters and screenshotting looks. And now I'm tired.
And you're gonna wake up at 6:30 a.m. to go to the workout.
Honestly.
And I'm next to you watching TV.
Yeah.
As if I'm doing anything that's better, you know. And I was like, Tyne, should you go to sleep?
And ask me if I even purchased anything or made
anything?
Headway on my outfits.
Any headway?
No.
Well, yeah. But this is real life, you know? You
just get sucked in to the vortex of social media.
Yeah.
It's very difficult.
I'm sure a lot of people can relate. It's so hard to sometimes just go directly to sleep. Or like, let's say you're like, okay, it's my time to sleep. I'm just going to go to sleep without looking at my phone. Or I'm going to put my phone in a different room. Like, that's so hard to do. And like,
it's so hard.
And... well, we'll talk about today why women with PCOS have sleep issues, why they have a melatonin problem. We'll get really into it, give some tips.
Yes.
So stay tuned because we're going to be needing these tips ourselves.
Seriously. Sometimes you just fall off track.
Yeah. With that though, let's start the episode with the wins of the week. This is Motivation Tuesday, where we talk about fellow sisters who are reversing the symptoms, losing weight with PCOS. And as we all know, showing PCOS... who the boss is?
First, we have Jamie from the Sisterhood. Jamie messaged us. She says, well, February has been a whirlwind with stress from work, but I weighed myself and I am excited to share that I'm down 10 pounds. Oh my God. I still have another 10 to go, but I am so happy to see some progress. I love feeling better physically and mentally, of course, and not exhausted. I mean, not feeling bloated all the time and on edge is already a huge win.
Amazing.
I'm so thankful for the vitamin set that is available, Metabolism Plus. That has made a huge difference. Thanks, you guys. I started the end of November, and this lifestyle change has just helped me as a whole. I just had to share my update with the folks who would understand. Love the sisterhood.
Woo!
So excited for you, Jamie.
Great job, Jamie. We are so happy for you. Great job taking those steps and the fact that you're feeling better and losing weight at the same time. That is just like a win-win for you. So just great job.
10 pounds is a lot. Congratulations.
All right, our next one is from, and I'm really sorry if I'm pronouncing your name wrong. I'm going to try my best. Esbeidi.
That's
Beidi. Esbeidi. Beautiful name. She says, just wanted to share with all my sisters some good news. I joined the sisterhood about 40 days ago. I cut out gluten and dairy. Here and then I would cheat about once a week, I would say, but kept strong at it. I did a 4-week meal plan and now just doing a couple of meals a week from the app recipes since I don't always have the time to do all I want to do with 2 kids now. But I make sure what I eat is within my restrictions. I got all my PCOS labs drawn and they were mostly all within normal limits except progesterone was low, which I am going to work on. I was so happy to know I did not have high testosterone levels. I also went from 225 pounds to 218 pounds.
Wow.
This was such an accomplishment that I cannot wait to keep going and doing more, including the workouts that I haven't done yet. I mostly have walked whenever I can. We all got this, sisters. I believe we all got this. Even just taking baby steps and slowly making changes to see progress.
Oh, I love that last line.
Yeah.
Slowly making changes. You know, it's all about progress, not perfection.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to jump into this and do everything at once the next day. So congratulations. Yeah, you've lost 7 pounds.
Yeah, and like it really goes to show where like you don't have to throw the whole kitchen sink at PCOS. Like in her case, she started with the 4-week meal plan and then started to add more recipes from the app. And then, as she mentioned, she's going to be focusing on the workouts later on. So even just by doing the meals and those lifestyle changes, she's seen some weight loss progress, which is amazing. And then adding the workouts later, feeling not as overwhelmed, I'm sure the weight loss progress is going to continue.
Yeah, super motivating.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for sharing.
Yeah, and this is exactly why we read these motivational Tuesday wins, is because so you can see how other people have been able to reverse their PCOS symptoms and lose weight, so you can kind of understand that, hey, I don't have to be going like 100% and doing everything. Like I can follow like in other people's footsteps and try things one at a time, or other methods that people try. We always try to read them for you here.
Yeah. And that transitions so nicely into the topic for today, which is getting our sleep back. Now, spring is among us. We are in our spring reset girly phase, if you want to call it that.
Well, I love spring because this is when I can plant all my plants.
Yeah.
Everything's getting ready for summer.
The birds are chirping. The bunnies are hopping around whenever I go out on a walk. I love spring so much.
I don't like any of those animals because all of those animals ate half my tomato crops last year.
Stop it.
I'm not even joking. Half my tomato crops were gone last year due to bunnies.
Oh my God.
Bunnies. Bunnies. Birds. And possibly field mice.
Oh God, that's so disgusting. Ew. Okay, well, I love spring, okay? Love spring, love the animals. I feel like Snow White every morning when I wake up and go to the gym because the birds are all chirping. And I'm just in the mood to reset. So let's talk about sleep and how we can fix it so that this spring we get some good sleep and wake up with energy.
Yeah, but before we start, let's do a quick check-in game. And let's both participate too, babe.
Okay.
So we're gonna say some statements. And as we say them, put your hands up in front of you.
Okay, I'm doing it.
Okay.
So.
Oh, wait. I gave the instructions wrong. So right now, everyone put your hands up in front of you. So start with putting your hands up in front of you. If you're at a public setting, just go with it.
Up.
Don't be embarrassed.
Okay. Put a finger down if you've been able to fall asleep within 30 minutes of going to bed.
I'm keeping my fingers
up. I'm keeping it up because I was on the phone. Put a finger down if you do wake up in the middle of the night and it only happens once, not twice, not three times, just once, and you can go back to sleep within like 20 minutes.
Okay, I feel like I consistently can fall back asleep within 20 minutes, so I'm gonna put my pinky down.
Put a finger down if you transition well between REM and non-REM cycle. That means you don't wake up groggy, you know?
Yeah, I've been waking up groggy. Mm. You?
No, I feel energetic when I wake up.
All right, well, good for you.
Well, put a finger down if you wake up feeling refreshed and ready to start your day.
Sometimes.
Okay. If all your fingers are still up, you're probably not getting the best sleep.
Yeah.
Studies show that women with PCOS are twice as likely as non-PCOS women to struggle with sleep disturbances, and 80% have accompanying daytime fatigue. Yeah. So sisters, you are not alone.
Absolutely. And we'll talk about the reasons why very shortly. Just so you know, it's not because you're lazy. It's not because you're just on your phone or you're watching TV too much. Of course, those are all factors, but there is some genetic, there's some biological reasons, hormonal reasons for these, and we're going to go over them right now.
Yeah, and there's so much you can do to support those hormones so that you don't have to suffer from this just because you have PCOS.
Yeah.
So it was so interesting. The other day we recorded a video on TikTok and I was reading from my favorite book, PCOS SOS, and I was reading a section from it. It's called PCOS is the Great Sleep Thief. And it got a million views, this video, because it was so interesting. Everyone was just so surprised at how PCOS can actually steal your sleep.
Yeah.
So if you feel like a night owl and you wake up feeling groggy and you feel like you need more sleep and you go to bed late, this is called the delayed sleep phase syndrome. And this is when your sleep-wake cycle shifts to later. Mm-hmm. And it's really common among women with PCOS.
And I feel like so many people feel like they're a night owl. Like, I'm a night owl. That's how I felt for so long.
Yeah.
When I was like a teenager and in my early 20s, I'm a night owl. I like to stay up late. It's okay. This is how I am. But But that is like you said, it's a shift in your sleep wake sleep wake cycle. How do you even say this, Tali?
Yeah, sleep wake cycle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's you're not a night owl. Like you're like as a human being, most of us are not night owls. So a lot of times it's just because of this hormonal issue.
Yeah, I mean think about it. Like what are the animals that they're awake during night? What was that called?
An owl.
No. it's called something gnar. Gnar.
I crack myself up.
Oh my goodness! I'm gonna. There's no way.
Gnar.
Animals Coleptic? That what? Stay up at night. What a way to Google something.
Nocturnal.
That's what it is. Nocturnal. So like humans aren't are nocturnal they? Animals.
What are the animals?
You don't know nocturnal animals? Let's see what they are.
I don't know.
Oh, it's showing.
Oh my god! A show comes up.
The movie. Yeah. Bats.
Hedgehogs.
Hedgehogs. I didn't know that. Mouse.
Raccoons.
Raccoon. Owl. Leopards. Foxes. Moths. Badgers.
Okay.
There's a whole kangaroos. Oh, wolves.
Wolf. Okay.
Hyenas.
Anyways, we're not trying to compare ourselves, but I'm just saying we're not those animals. So anyways, melatonin and cortisol, these are really important hormones. We're going to talk about how they orchestrate our sleep-wake cycle and how women with PCOS, this doesn't necessarily function as normally for us as it would for others. So let's talk about why. So we'll start with melatonin. This hormone is the one that goes up at night to help you feel sleepy. And, you know, when you get in bed, you're like, oh, and you fall asleep in like 10, 15 minutes. It's all about the melatonin at night.
Yeah, this is why people sometimes are recommended to take melatonin at night. It's actually a hormone that's in your body. Mm-hmm. But when that hormone is low, and we'll get to that later, some people may suggest to take melatonin to help you fall asleep.
Yeah. So Dr. Felis Gersh in PCOS SOS, she says that there's one theory that our melatonin receptors, like estrogen receptors, are damaged and function suboptimally. So like I said, melatonin is a sleep hormone and a powerful antioxidant. It actually scavenges your body at night for free radicals that would cause inflammation.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's a powerful antioxidant. And melatonin, like I said, should rise at night, make you sleepy, and then drop in the morning when you wake up. And you'd think that women with PCOS would have low melatonin because we're twice as likely to suffer from sleep problems. But we actually have high melatonin. This is where the theory of damaged receptors come in. Those receptor sites aren't speaking with the melatonin hormone. So although women with PCOS, we have abnormally high levels of melatonin in our blood, we have abnormally low levels in our ovaries where the melatonin can help promote healthy eggs.
Wow. So they find high levels of melatonin in the blood, but when you look at the ovaries, it's very low.
Yeah, where the receptor sites are in the ovaries.
And melatonin usually promotes very healthy eggs. Mm-hmm. So that's, wow, that's huge.
Yeah. A melatonin supplement has actually shown to work for women with PCOS, and it can not only help you sleep better, but also improve the health of your ovaries and increase estrogen levels and improve fertility. So it's like a whole body thing. Like it's not just so you can wake up with energy the next day. It's actually so that, you know, it can help with your eggs and your ovarian health where there are melatonin receptors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you take the supplement for melatonin, yes, you already have good melatonin levels, but it gives you like that extra boost to kind of like bombard those receptors and get them to react. So it's pretty interesting. Have you tried melatonin?
I have in the past. And one thing I want to also bring up is that, like you were saying, melatonin is great. Like in the study where they took for 6 months and improved, is great for like as a short term benefiting
solution.
Factor.
Yeah.
However, like long term, if you take it for, let's say you're like, okay, I'm just going to take melatonin for the rest of my life at night.
Yeah. And I'm going to stare at my phone. I'm just going to take the melatonin.
Yeah.
And it's going
to
be fine.
Well, what happens is it leads to decreased effectiveness, and it can actually reduce how much your body naturally produces melatonin. Like we were saying earlier, melatonin is actually a hormone that your body produces at night to help you sleep. But let's say every night you take melatonin, well, your body's going to be like, oh, okay, I don't need to make any more.
Yeah, it can really mess with you, actually.
Yeah.
But not to say that, like, you shouldn't try it for a period of time.
Yeah. Yeah, like for example, in the study of PCOS women, they took 2 milligrams of melatonin for 6 months. And at the end of the 6 months, they menstruated more regularly, had improved egg quality, experienced a reduction in testosterone. And after those 6 months, you probably want to wean off of it.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying, by the way, to take it for 6 months. We're just talking about the study here. Yeah. But after that, after those 6 months, then you would want to wean yourself off of it. And also important to keep in mind, like as you're taking melatonin, you should be practicing the healthy lifestyle practices at night, like, yeah, you know, not looking at your phone or, you know, not staying up too late. Because if you're doing the right things while taking melatonin, then when you stop taking it, mm-hmm, then you'll be able to practice those good things and help your body naturally fall asleep.
Yeah, there are so many ways to naturally produce melatonin, and we're going to get into that at the end of this episode. So relying on the melatonin supplement shouldn't be the first line of approach. Like, try all the other things. Go ahead and take it if your doctor tells you to. But, you know, it's not like the end all be all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, with that, let's actually talk about some lifestyle tips that will help you improve your sleep and your mm-hmm quality of sleep at night.
Yes. So one thing that I highly suggest, and lately I've been really like subscribing to this, don't eat late at night. Okay. So I read this in the book. It said, those who snacked and ate later at night had increased testosterone and insulin levels the next day. So when you don't eat late at night, it reduces it by 50%. It was incredible. Wow. So don't eat late at night. You're going to feel better the next day, not only hormonally, but also your blood sugar and your mood when you wake up.
Yeah, this is directly related with insulin resistance. Mm-hmm. So if you have insulin resistance, eating late at night will put you in an insulin resistant state all night long and can lead to also inflammation as well.
Yeah. Also, don't watch television or stare at the screens at night.
Yeah. It's a big one for us. Are you too, girl?
Yeah. I know. It's the blue light. It suppresses melatonin, you guys. Yeah. It suppresses it.
Yeah, because that blue light, that screen from your cell phone, I'm sure everybody's heard of this now, this day and age. It's like very common to talk mm-hmm about this, but the blue light from your monitors, from your phones, during the day, it's okay. Because during the day, it's daytime, the sun is out, your body is expecting that blue light.
Yeah.
But at night, when the sun is down and your body's not expecting it, that's when it can be not harmful. Good for you. Yeah, harmful. Yeah. Exactly.
Don't drink alcohol close to bedtime.
Yeah.
We don't do that.
I also, sorry, just want to go back to that too.
Oh, sorry.
About the blue light, of course, there are blue light glasses. Yeah. And they're great, but I want to make a very important clarification on that. There are blue light glasses where it's clear. Essentially, it looks like normal glasses. Mm-hmm. And they glare a lot from the outside, hence how they like kind of block. Help block. But there are also ones that are amber color, like yellowish. Mm. The yellowish ones are actually the ones that are the most beneficial and the most efficient at blocking the blue light. Because imagine when you're looking at the screen, it looks yellow because of the glasses. Hence, you're not getting the blue light. It's blocking a lot of it.
I should get those.
Yeah.
But I already have two of these cute other ones.
I know. But this is that's the thing, though. The research is continuing on. Because a lot of companies in the last 5 to 10 years have come out with blue light blocking glasses. And the research is just showing that the amber ones are a bit better. So as the research evolves, we just, you know, improve. We evolve and we get, I guess,
more better glasses.
Yeah.
Better sleep. Okay. Well, I don't mind getting another pair. Honestly, it helps me so much. Even during the day, it keeps my nervous system more calm when I use the blue light glasses.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Don't drink alcohol or caffeine close to bedtime.
Yeah.
That's a given. But, you know, some people like to wind down with a glass of wine. But I encourage you to find a different way to wind down.
Yeah.
Because that ain't it.
And then for caffeine, just like overall, if you can avoid drinking caffeine after like 12 p.m., generally that would be great for sleep, because you won't have that caffeine in your bloodstream. Because usually caffeine will last about 6 to 12 hours in your bloodstream, depending on each person.
Sirak, you have 6 minutes to finish your tea before it's 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
Oh, snap.
Just kidding. Okay. And then, you know, of course, the sun plays a huge role in this, in helping your melatonin. Disgusting.
Like half the listeners just exited this podcast because I did that.
The sun plays a major role in your sleep-wake cycle. You can even go camping to like reset your circadian rhythm. And it's spring. Maybe it's a good time to go camping to like kick this sleep reset on, you know?
It really is.
But, you know, if you go on a walk at dusk, the sun rays are different and it's going to help produce more melatonin. And if you go on a walk in the morning, it's going to help you produce more cortisol. So you wake up. And so it's just really important that you get outside and get the sun. We're stuck inside. We're stuck indoors. That's also contributing to this like issue with our sleep-wake cycle.
Big time. It's crazy because the science shows that watching the sunset with all the yellow, orange and red colors will actually trigger melatonin in your body and shut down cortisol production, getting us ready for bed.
Yeah.
And then when you go, let's say you go camping outside for a weekend with natural light and you're grounded, it will actually help to reset your circadian rhythm. We've actually experienced this. I think it was like 2-3 years ago, we went camping in Joshua Tree, like wilderness backpacking, all alone in the wild.
Tenting,
like nobody around us. And it was really cool, of course, a little scary, but like we definitely felt completely reset because we had the phone, no phone service at all.
Yeah.
So it was basically useless.
Yeah.
And it was great. I loved it.
I can't believe we did that.
We should do it again.
Yeah. Maybe. I'm down. Maybe in the summer.
Yeah. It's too hot then though.
It's too hot.
Maybe.
So the spring.
May. How about we do that for our anniversary? We go camping in the wild.
We'll think about it. That is not the anniversary I anticipated.
I'm kidding.
More of a bougie hotel by the water.
Kidding.
All right. Then a couple more tips to help you wind down at night and drop your cortisol levels is to have like a routine at night and just kind of put into place, like turn on the diffuser, take a hot shower, get in bed, put your phone in a different room. Like this routine will help kick in this fixing the sleep-wake cycle.
Yeah, and speaking of cortisol too, try to think about your exercises and how they can be impacting your sleep. For example, intense workouts, as we've talked about many times on this podcast, on our Instagram and everything, intense workouts can impact your cortisol levels and keep them high going into the night, especially for PCOS women, as PCOS women aren't able to lower back down their cortisol levels as efficiently as people without PCOS. You don't want to be doing constant intense workouts if it's impacting you that way. Mm-hmm. So having a more moderate exercise can be great. So for example, doing like Pilates, slow weighted workouts, even like swimming, bicycling, all these things when you're doing them at a steady and a moderate pace can do great wonders for your cortisol levels.
Yes. Well, those are all of the tips, sisters. And I'm sure there are so many more things that we can do, but I feel like this is a good list to start with.
Wait, I wasn't done with my exercise tips.
Oh, I'm so
sorry.
You
just like bulldozed over me. How dare you?
I thought you stopped.
No, I was just going to say I did kind of stop. I was thinking about it, but I was going to say to also try not to exercise like past like 7 or 8 p.m. I know everybody has different schedules, but when you're exercising past 7 or 8 p.m., what happens is when you exercise, your body naturally increases its energy levels, it increases its metabolism, and therefore, if you're doing it too late at night, your body may not be able to fall asleep if you go to bed in a couple of hours. Therefore, as a general rule of thumb, I like to say like 6, 7 p.m. is the latest I would recommend. But anything after that, it just becomes a little bit too risky with the sleep cycle.
It messes it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good tip. Well, sisters, I hope this was a little bit eye-opening. And just think about how good you're going to feel after you nail these tips.
Yes.
And, you know, if you need a little more support, maybe that's a melatonin supplement for a period of time. But you got this.
Yes, absolutely. And remember, we're going to be following these tips with you. Because sometimes, like, you can really like be consistent. You're like, wow, I'm sleeping great for the last few months. And then something happens. Maybe there's extra stress. Maybe
you're going to Japan.
Or like you're working on renovating your house. It's all this extra stress. And essentially you like maybe fall off the wagon or you maybe do some things like watch more TV at night.
Yeah.
But just remember like that's okay. Like we all have our moments and you just want to fall back into going into the consistency of falling asleep better at night.
Yeah. So we got this, sisters. Thanks so much for joining us. Until next time.
Yes, take care, and we'll talk to you next week.
Bye.
What if you had an app for PCOS that could tell you what to eat, when to work out, and how to track your goals every day?
Introducing the Sisterhood app. Not only does the Sisterhood app give you access to the largest community of women with PCOS, but it also provides you with a daily PCOS plan.
Your daily PCOS plan tells you exactly what to eat for each meal of the day. It's like having me as a dietitian in your pocket. It also sends you a notification when it's time to work out, and it provides step-by-step videos to help you reverse your biggest PCOS symptoms.
You'll also get access to 100-plus gluten and dairy-free recipes, the 5 Steps to PCOS Weight Loss Masterclass, and a full PCOS-friendly workout library to choose from.
But let's not forget the most crucial component of PCOS weight loss, the support. You're not alone. In the sisterhood, you become part of the largest community of PCOS women where you can chat with us in our private Facebook group. Sirak, myself, and your fellow sisters are in there every day to answer your questions and support you along the way.
So what are you waiting for? You can head over to the App Store and search Sisterhood, or click the link in the description to get started today.
See you in there.